May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 762. 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. Hymn 762.
To read two portions from his holy word. Firstly, the book of Judges, part of chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. We commence at verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of raiment, garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. It came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not ploughed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Psalm 22. The book of Psalms, number 22. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me than from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. O ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, O ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we plead for thy help here this evening. We are in great need of it. no help in self we find. Lord, and we cannot help each other. Nevertheless, Lord, help us to pray for one another, that thou wouldst help both speaker and hearers. May the speaker be a hearer too. Lord, let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy countenance. Lord, feed the flock of slaughter. Lord, thy bride. They are like sheep accounted for the slaughter. Oh, Lord, do fulfill thy word. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We beg thy mercy, mercy through blood. I make my plea. That blood, Lord, that thou didst so painfully shed, but willingly shed. That blood which is the only ransom price, so invaluable. Lord, we thank thee, Almighty God, that thou hast found a ransom. Do send thy Spirit tonight, that messenger, that interpreter, to tell thy people to draw near to the grave and their life to the destroyers. I have found a ransom. Deliver him from going down into the pit. Lord, they each need telling by thee that their ransom has ransomed them, that they are redeemed with Jesus' precious blood. Not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, Holy Spirit, come down. The glory of God, reveal the lamb to thy people. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, before Benjamin, Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Lord, shine upon this spot this evening, upon thy little remnant. Lord, make it an evening which will not be forgotten. Lord, bless sinners tonight with thy salvation. For the first time we're in renewal of it. For we are constantly in need of saving. Save us from our sin. Thou only knowest it completely. Thou only can save us from it. Save us from the devil. Thou only knowest all his workings. Lord, we pray, detect him, Lord, how thou didst, Lord Jesus, perfectly detect all the guile of that tempter, and didst perfectly stand against it. Whether he was speaking to thee directly or through thy servant Peter, Lord, thou didst find him out. For thou art God, omniscient, seeing all things, knowing all things. Lord, thou didst in our nature stand with thy divine power against him. Lord, save us from him. And this bewitching world, Lord, that world that the devil said he would give thee if thou wouldst bow down and worship him. Lord, thou couldst not. Thou art God. Lord, thou canst not resign that position. Lord, thou art holy. Oh, deliver us from this world. save us from it. Our young friends, Lord, and each one of us, save us from this bewitching world. Lord, give us the love of Christ, the remedy for the love of the world. Lord, oh, make this world as nothing to us, because compared to thee, Lord, it is nothing. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Yet we confess, sinful wretches as we are, Lord, it is attractive to our fallen nature. We confess it. Oh, Lord, let not our fallen nature prevail. Do thou prevail over it. Help thy people in this battle, the Shulamite, company of two armies. Lord, grant thy Shulamites tonight a victory through the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the Lamb, the name of the Lamb. Lord, give a banner to them that fear thee. They may be displayed because of the truth. Help us then. Unfold the mysteries of the scriptures to us. Unfold by faith the mystery of the gospel. Give to one the opening of a door of utterance to make known the mystery of Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, do glorify thy name in our midst this evening. And do glorify thy name in our lives, Lord. Oh, we pray for that shall redound to thy glory. And give us the grace, Lord, to give thee all the glory. Lord, for that which thou hast done and dost do and wilt do. Here we pray again for this people here. Lord, bless them indeed. Do them good. Keep them as the apple of thine eye. Lord, may it be made known that this is a vineyard of red wine, that thou, the Lord, dost keep it. Lest any harm it, thou watchest over it day and night. Lord, oh, we pray that thou wouldst grant that blessed, precious blood of Christ set forth by that red wine. Lord, may it be known here in the reality of it by thy Spirit. Cleansing from sin, softening hard hearts, and thereby, Lord, bringing nigh to God and bringing thy people nigh together in his dear Son. Lord, give grace to the deacons. Help them and the brethren in the church to pray, and the sisters too, secretly. Lord, each that fear thee in the congregation. Oh, may this be a praying people. And then surely they will be a praising people. Thy appointed time. Lord, we would give thee the praise and the honour and the thanksgiving due to thy great and blessed name for the prayers that thou hast given and the prayers thou hast answered. Those mercies countless as the sand which daily we receive from thee. Go on to be gracious, Lord. Watch over the children that thou hast given. Oh, if it will please thee, make them manifest as thy children. Keep them and each one of us safe. Preserve us from all harm. Lord, sanctify thy judgments. Look upon Zion, Lord. Oh, we pray for grace to search and try our ways and turn again unto thee. There is not one of thy people that has not need to do this. As thou didst say to thy church by thy servant John, I've not found thy works perfect before God. Lord, and so it ever will be while the earth remaineth. There will be need of repentance. Do give it. For thou dost say, except ye repent, I will remove the candlestick out of its place. Lord, hast thou not done so in so many places? Lord, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Lord, leave us not to provoke thee sore. Lord, if we have, give us repentance to weep sore over our sins and turn again to thee. Correct us, Lord, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring us to nothing. We do pray for righteousness. Lord, leave us not to a sticking plaster religion. Leave us not as churches to patch over things. Oh, do thou put things right. We do pray. Oh, do thou grant that blessing, the correction of the Lord, to make his people partakers of his holiness. Help thy sent servants, hold them up, Lord, keep them. Lord, the devil knows their weakness. He knows their position. Lord, he knows the havoc that is caused when he gets one of these men to fall. Oh, Lord, keep thy servants and each one of us. Help them each, Lord, to stand. Make them strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, give them that determination to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Bless their labours. Crown thy gospel with success. Appoint pastors after thine own heart. You shall feed thy flocks with knowledge and understanding. Lord, may believers be added unto the churches. May the churches be increased individually. In every grace, have pity on Britain. Deliver us, Lord, we beseech thee. Have mercy on us. Overrule those in authority. Preserve to us our civil liberties. If it is thy will, give liberty to those that don't have it throughout the world. Lord, if it could please thee, lift thy judgment. Permit us to sing again in thy house. In such assemblies as this, Lord, have pity. Save us, we pray. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask. Amen.
Hymn 536, 536. Behold a scene of matchless grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. 536.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of Judges, chapter 14. The book of Judges, chapter 14, verse 14. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. I sat in the vestry before the service, my dear friend. A text came to me. And then, immediately on the back of that text, came this text. And I said to the Lord, Lord, what am I to do? I can't preach from 2 texts. And he fixed my mind on this one and completely took out of my mind the other one, so I can't tell you what the other one was. And so here I am, pleading that he will help me to speak from this text, and that he'll help you to listen. And may you and I prove the text. Firstly, a little about Samson. A child of God without any doubt. A promised child. One that was promised to Manoah and his wife by a special visitation of the Lord. One who was to be a Nazarite from the womb. That is, he should not let a razor come upon his head. He should not drink strong drink. Setting forth one sanctified by the Lord to the Master's use. We read of him. He was born again of the Spirit. Because we read of him, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. But we see in Samson, to a solemn degree, the sinfulness of man. Let none and take his example. Let none say that because Samson did certain things, I may do certain things and still be saved. That word we considered this afternoon, the verse previous to my text, which exhorts to remembering those that have the rule over you, it says, whose faith follows. Don't follow the sins of the Lord's people, whether they be his servants or otherwise. Don't follow the sins, my dear friend, whose faith follow. What must the child of God expect, and what does every one of the children of God receive? Because you do not have to fall in such gross outward ways as Samson fell, to receive the same chastisement as he received. Do you think, my dear friend, that Samson ever thought it was worth it? When his eyes were taken out by the Philistines? No more than David thought it was worth it, when for the rest of his days the sword of the Lord in judgments did not depart from his house. But blessed be his dear name, because Samson was an elect, chosen vessel of mercy. His hair began to grow, and he slew more Philistines in his death than he'd slain in his life. And that brings me to say this, my dear friend, that Samson is one of the scriptural types of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every type, that is every picture, every man that is a picture in some measure of Christ, must of necessity fall short. And how in many, so many ways, Samson fell short. But in that he was a promised child, a miraculous child. In Samson's case, by the miracle of God, his mother conceived. An appointed to be one of Israel's deliverers in this period in their history where they kept sinning and bringing upon themselves the judgment of God. But repentance was given and a deliverer was raised up. And Samson was one of those. We read in this chapter, didn't we, that when Samson went down to Timnath to take this woman to be his wife, he met this young lion in the vineyard, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And by the Spirit of the Lord, he was able to do that which naturally he could never have done. He tear that young lion. It wasn't an old lion that was feeble, arthritic, wasted away. It was a young lion in all its vigor. He tear it in pieces. But then when he returned, he found that God had provided him a meal in a most unusual place. For those bees that went to this carcass of this lion and brought their honey to it, each one of them was under the control of their creator. And so, Samson, he gives this riddle to these Philistine men who attended his wedding. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Just a word concerning the fact that this was a riddle set for others to unravel. Oh, how mysterious are the ways and the doings of Almighty God. How none can discover them but those who have the meaning of the riddle, the meaning of the mystery, told them by him who alone knoweth. The mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness, says Paul, writing to Timothy. God manifest in the flesh. What did Jesus say concerning the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? He thanked his Father, didn't he, that these things were hid from the wise and the prudent, and they were revealed unto babes. When Peter testified to his Lord that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And interwoven with the great mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, the way of God's salvation, are the mysteries of his dealings with his people in providence. Jesus said, didn't he, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And of course we have that in Samson's riddle. The hereafter. William Cowper and I realised in the interval, I denied that man a hymn that he had written, 160. I said it was Newton's. It was actually Cowper's. The fountain, there is a fountain filled with blood. But his hymn 320. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Why? Because God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm, deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill. He treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. Are you in some matter in your life this evening, my dear friend, trying with your own understanding to fathom God's doings? You never will. You never will. I quoted, I believe, this afternoon, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." Child of God, those of you that have experience of these things, have you not proved it so many times? And you see, the things we walk through, which are so trying, they wouldn't be trying if we knew the end of them, would they? No. I mentioned Abraham this afternoon, that trial of Abraham, when he was commanded by his Lord to take his son and offer him up. He went by faith. He had that persuasion that God would provide, but he didn't know how. It was only when that voice came from heaven, "Lay not thine hand on the lad, now I know that thou fearest me." He turned and behind him, he hadn't seen him before. A ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and he offered him up in the place of his son Isaac. And he said unto them, "Out of the eater came forth meat." Oh, what an eater is the lion. What an eater. It's a ravenous beast, isn't it? has a huge appetite. And what does it eat? It slays other animals, takes their life, throttles it, or kills it in some other way, and devours it. Out of the eater. He means then out of the lion came forth meat. Came forth meat. How did it come out of the eater? The eater must be slain. The slaying animal, the king of beasts it's called, isn't it, the lion? It must be slain. And then from the death of that eater, God miraculously, conspicuously, particularly and sovereignly for the provision of his Samson, and Samson's parents, by the way, he causes there to be honey, meat. By meat we are to understand that which strengthens. That which is for the strengthening of mankind. Out of the eater came forth meat. Why? It's provided by God. Provided by God to meet the need of these men. Now I see in my text, my dear friend, the destruction of death by Christ and the provision of meat for God's people in him who died and who liveth forevermore. Firstly, I would speak of the lion in Samson's riddle as setting forth death. As the lion is the king of beasts, so death is the king of terrors to mankind. How awful if any of us here this evening should have to face death and not find it conquered for us. We certainly shan't find meat in death, shall we? If death was not conquered for us by him who alone could conquer it. What a solemn thing, my dear friend, young and old, you young ones here this evening. None of us know when we shall face this monster death. None of us know when we shall breathe our last breath. None of us know how we shall come to our end and when we shall come to our end. But one thing is certain. It is appointed unto all men once to die, and after death, the judgment. Death, then, the king of terrors. Why? Because of what follows death. Death would not be the king of terrors, would it? If it did not bring us face to face with our Creator, our Judge, if it did not bring us face to face with that the word I've just quoted speaks of, and after death, the judgment. Just as Samson, when he comes down to take his wife, must slay the lion. So Christ, when he came to take his wife, must slay the lion. He must slay the king of terrors. He must slay death. He must, by dying, destroy death. And he has. His promise in the Old Testament was, O death, I will be thy destruction. And I think of the words of the Apostle Paul, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Samson, by the Spirit of the Lord, slew the king of animals, the king of the lion, the king of the animal kingdom, so Christ, through the Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, dying the just for the unjust. Just as Samson had nothing in his hand, he slew the lion with his bare hands. So Christ had no weapon in his hand. Peter took two swords into the garden, didn't he? And Jesus said to him, it is enough. Enough for what? Oh, the Lord, of course, had no thought. There was need of two swords. But he knew what was going to happen because he is God. He knew that he was going to demonstrate to Peter that a sword won't get the victory over death. Put up thy sword into thy sheath, he said. May we hear that, each one of us. We might think this applies to how we deal with those people in our lives who rise up against us. It does. But it applies to deeper, closer matters than that. When Jesus says to a sinner, put up thy sword into thy sheath, he means every single weapon. Your own wisdom, your own strength, your own will, everything about yourself. Put up thy sword, whatever it is, into thy sheath. Now listen to this. This is how the Saviour destroyed death. This is how he slew the king of terrors. By submitting to death himself. The cup that my Father hath given me, he says, shall I not drink it? Oh, blessed be his dear name, that he should have that determination, that loving determination, love to his Father and love to his people. Shall I not drink this cup, though it is so bitter? It's got the very dreadful king of foes in it. This cup is filled with death. He tasted death, we read, for every man. And that wasn't a little taste. Not like when you sip a cup. Perhaps you have something bitter. Perhaps your children know what it is to have medicine, and it's bitter. Oh, it wasn't just a sip that the Saviour took. He drank it to the very dregs. As the wrath of offended divine majesty for the sins of his church were poured upon him. And he drank every drop. Every single sin had to be atoned for. The punishment due to every single sin had to be taken. It was taken by Christ. And that, of course, meant that he must die. The apostle by the Spirit speaks of this as being the purpose for his incarnation. That through death he should destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Samson's riddle is the gospel. And my dear friend, Samson's provision by the Lord here was a gospel provision. The special provision of God for his child, for the one whom he has given unto his son to redeem. How sweet is that mercy. Whatever it be, in which a child of God can trace redeeming love and blood in it. Isn't that what the hymn writer had in mind? We know it is, because he puts his mind into words. He says, "For mercies countless as the sands, which daily I receive from Jesus, my Redeemer's hands, my soul, what canst thou give?" Now that needs a special faith that the Lord gives his people. And that makes the blessing, the mercy, so sweet. Because it comes through redeeming blood. It comes through my Saviour dying for my sins on Calvary's cross. Out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the eater came forth meat. I just wonder, my dear friends, I'm not going to be at all dogmatic about any suggestion, but I do wonder regarding the reference in our text to the 3 days. Whenever in the scripture I read 3 days, my mind immediately goes to the 3 days the Saviour's lifeless body lay in the tomb. I leave it at that. But my dear friend, I don't think we do wrong. If when we are seeking to speak from the scripture, we bring forth that which glorifies Christ. And if the words 3 days leads us to contemplate the reality that Christ made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death and came forth from that grave, I'm sure we do not wrong. That I may know him, says Paul, and the power of his resurrection. Because you see, it's by the power of his sin-atoning death, and that is shown by the power of his resurrection. When the Saviour comes forth from that grave, oh, what is the testimony? What is the abundant proof given? By his death, he destroyed death. Death could not hold him. No. His body could not see corruption. God from the grave has raised his son. Out of the eater came forth meat. Oh, my dear friend, there is no meat for your soul and mine but the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, didn't he, my body... My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. But that body wouldn't have been broken if he hadn't submitted to death. So how could there be this blessed meat for the church of God? It must come forth out of the eater. The King of grace has conquered the King of terrors. Almighty God has sighed human breath. The Lord of life has experienced death. How it was done, we can't discuss. Oh, my dear friend, for that assurance, some of us could say it once. Oh, to have that blessed witness of the Spirit, the sealing. And those of you that long to be able to say this, but this we know, 'twas done for us. And you see, it's a mystery. You'll never receive this meat by studying and studying and studying the scriptures concerning the death of Christ, except the Holy Spirit shine upon those truths. And grant your soul faith in him who died. Now that's the supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. That's the mystery. That's the work of God. What does Paul say of the preaching of the cross? What is it to those clever Greeks? Foolishness. Oh, the Lord deliver us from our cleverness. The Lord make us fools for Christ's sake. The Lord bring us to his feet and ask him to show us that scene you had read to you in that hymn just now. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. If you behold that by faith out of the eater, from death comes forth meat. For Christ himself hath died, the just for the unjust. And from his death, what is the meat? The meat, my dear friend, is exactly suited to the hunger of the people for whom it's provided. Guilty sinners. What meat the dying thief was feasted with. But he didn't have a piece of it, did he? He didn't even know that meat existed. Till he was convinced of his sin by the Holy Ghost, born again and convinced of sin. We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Why? Why, Lord? Because I am numbered with the transgressors. I am in the midst. Sovereignly thou art mine. Sovereignly I am dying for thy sins. Sovereignly my body shall lay in the tomb because of your sin. The soldier pierced my side, 'tis true, but thou hast pierced me through and through. What meat that was when the Saviour spoke. He spoke of going to his kingdom. What's the way to his kingdom? The way of the cross, the way of the tomb. Through death, destroying him that had the power of death. The meat then of the forgiveness of sins. The meat of the justification of the sinner by the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to him. Remember what Jesus said in his ministry about the hungering people. He said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. They shall be filled. That righteousness of Jesus, it was completely finished when he said it was. When he said it is finished. That righteousness consisted in him obeying every command his Father gave him. He delighted to do so. That was part of the righteousness. It wouldn't have been righteousness if he did it unwillingly. No, he delighted to do it. And he said, I lay down my life. This commandment have I received of my Father. Out of the eater came forth meat, forgiveness, justification, sanctification. Justification gives the sinner a title to heaven because justification makes him completely right because he has the righteousness of Jesus imputed to him. Sanctification separates him, fits him for the service of God. In measure here on this earth, it's done. It's done right from the new birth, the first act of sanctification. And what meat it is to a child of God to be sanctified. Jesus Christ made unto him sanctification. If the Holy Spirit is at work at in your soul, you won't be satisfied without sanctification. Because the Lord has made you hunger not only for deliverance from hell and to be taken to heaven. He's made you hunger for holiness. He's made you hunger to do that which is right, to not offend your God. You delight in the law of God after the inward man. You find another law in your members warring against the law of your mind. And what will strengthen the inner man? You can only be strengthened in your inner man by feeding on Christ crucified. There's nothing to sanctify you. Jesus himself says it, didn't he? There's nothing else to sanctify you but Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus himself. For their sakes, he said, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Out of the eater, Christ must die for you to be sanctified. His blood sanctifies you. Oh, when your heart is hard, how unfit you are to serve God. But if the blood of Jesus Christ is revealed to the eye of your faith and your soul feeds upon it, one of the effects of that feeding is sanctification. You find your hard heart softened. If you find, as you surely will, you've got many idols, what can sanctify you? What can cleanse those idols away? But the meat which comes out of the eater. Oh, my dear friend. When the spouse was asked about her beloved and why she was so taken with him, and so wanted to find him, one of those things she said was, my beloved is white and ruddy. Out of the eater came forth meat. What we need, my dear friend, to cleanse us from our idols and thus sanctify us, are believing views of Christ crucified. Because what does that do? It so fills our soul with wonder that there's no room for an idol. Oh, to know more of this, my dear friend. Berridge knew it, didn't he? He knew the opposite. What a path that man walked. There are no airs and graces with him. But he says, soon as faith my Lord can see, hanging on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart, Jesus gets and fills my heart. Out of the eater came forth meat, the meat of the love of God in Christ. You say, well, Christ didn't have to die to love his people. No, he died because he loved his people. But how does the scripture tell us the love of God was manifested? Listen to Jesus first in John 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the apostle takes it up. In this was the love of God manifested. How? In the death of Christ, in that God spared not his own Son. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spent. Oh, ask the Lord for such moments if you don't have them, my dear friend. Ask him for another one if you haven't had one for a while. When I see divine compassion floating in his languid eye, meat for your soul, so strengthening. So strengthening against sin. So satisfying. Out of the eater came forth meat. And out of the strong came forth sweetness. Sweet the moments. The sweetness of pardon. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. How? The hungry soul is a quickened soul. The hungry soul is a soul convinced of the spirit of sin. The hungry soul is a seeking soul, seeking after the Lord's salvation. With a bitter taste in his mouth. There's nothing more bitter than conviction of sin. There's nothing more bitter than the hiding of God's face, the feeling forsaken of God. But when the Lord hears those cries and those sighs and those groans, he does so through his Son and what he endured at Calvary. And that is how the bitter thing becomes sweet. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, though our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret sweetens all. But you won't always taste that sweetness in the cup. Don't think that, my dear friend. No. There wasn't immediately this store of honey in this carcass, was there? No, it had to be put there by God through the means of his creatures, the bees. And so it has to be put there in your soul's experience by God. He may use his written word. He may use a minister of the gospel. He may use some work that one of his godly people have written. But it is God that doth it. You can read the most sweetest things and still have such bitterness. Why? Because grace is sovereign. Because the word of God doesn't apply to everyone. That is the sweetness of the word. The blessings of the gospel, they don't apply to everyone. And how shall a sinner know whether they apply to them or not? by God applying them to them, by God causing the sweetness to come. How sweet when he speaks the word. How sweet when he gives a believing view of his son. How sweet when he delivers from the trouble. How sweet when he says, I am thine and thou art mine. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. What sweet words the blessed Lord can say to a sinner. But he can only say them because he died for them. You never have the sweet word of forgiveness. You never have the sweet word saying, thou art mine. The Saviour had to die for you, child of God, for you to be his. True, you were given to him by his Father in eternity past, but that was with the covenant undertaking and understanding that his Son would redeem you with his own blood. Now, just in these last few minutes, I want to speak, as the Lord may help me, more particularly of this with regard to the path that the Lord's people must tread in following their Lord. Just as he must die, that there might be meat for his people, they must die with him, there might be meat for them. I am crucified with Christ, said Paul. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, under what did Christ die? Under the load of his people's sins. And it is under that that his people die. Very often, in their soul's experience, it is like crucifixion, a long and a lingering death. The Lord very often doesn't, as it were, strike his people dead, spiritually speaking, in their soul's experience in a moment. It's like crucifixion. The Lord has fastened them in a place. When the Lord takes a sinner in hand, they're fastened by the Lord, just like a man is fastened to a cross. You might struggle and strive, but the more you struggle and strive, the more painful the wounds are. You can't get away from God. None can deliver out of my hand, he says. And what is his purpose? His purpose is to slay. Not to slay in anger, but to slay in love. Not to slay with the purpose of eternal destruction in the execution of penal wrath, but to slay so that that one shall come into the experience of life by Jesus' death and resurrection. My dear friend, if you're not dead, you can't possibly live by Christ. Out of the eater, out of the experience of death. When you come to that place, my dear friend, you can't keep the law. And when you come to that place that you've broken every single command of it, and you've got the sentence of death, when you come to that place, you can't believe, you can't repent, you can't love, you can't obey, you can't stop sinning. And it's painful to you. It's a grief to you. It's a devouring thing. It's the eater. The eater. But God, in his sovereign purpose, in his overruling, he's keeping your soul, my dear friend, in his dear Son. And what is being eaten up? The flesh. Your self-confidence is being eaten up. Your pride is being eaten up. Your self-righteousness is being eaten up. Your own natural understanding is being eaten up. Am I speaking to one here this evening? And this is the way you are tasting death. You thought one day you knew how you could be saved, but now the Lord is leading you on and you come to that place. Lord, I don't know how I can be saved. Isn't that death to you? Because you want to be saved, but you don't know how to be. And you can't do anything toward it yourself. That's the death. What does he put in your heart? Is it not a cry to him to be saved? Is it not the cry of the Saviour himself? In effect, in substance? That's why I read that Psalm 22 with you. It seems to me to beautifully tie in with our text. In that Psalm 22 we have the lion mentioned, don't we? I mustn't turn to it, the time's almost gone. It was particularly those words of the Saviour, his prayer to his Father. He says, save me from the lion's mouth. Oh, my dear friend, the wonder. The reality of the real and true humanity of Christ. The reality of his real sorrow. And his real, awful, indescribable sufferings and agony. But his dependence on his Father, his trust in his Father. Save me from the lion's mouth. Save me from death. And he was heard. He wasn't saved from the lion's mouth. In that, it was not necessary for him to die. No. He couldn't be saved from the lion's mouth that way. And nor can you be saved from the lion's mouth by escaping death. The Saviour had his prayer answered that morning. He came out of the grave. God from the grave has raised his Son, and his people get the answer to their prayer because the Saviour got the answer to his. Because he came forth out of that state of death, victorious over the grave. What is that in your soul's experience, my dear friend? When without any effort of your own, without any working of your own mind, your own heart, your own will, your own doing, you are saved entirely and completely by God, entirely by the operation of the Spirit conveying to your soul the precious blood and righteousness, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the eater. How often the devil seems to be the eater. How often he is the eater. But the devil can't touch the core of the matter, which is Christ. Look how the devil tried to topple Christ. Look how the devil tried to eat up Christ. He couldn't. He tried to get Christ to open his mouth and command the stones to be made bread. No, says Christ. Wouldn't that be distrust of his Father? And his trust in his Father was complete. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord shall man live. Think of what Satan tried to do to Simon Peter. Jesus said to him, he has desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Don't you think the Lord could have stopped Satan doing what he did to Simon Peter? Sure he could. If it was his will. If it was his Father's will. But there's that in Peter which must be eaten up. Peter's flesh. Peter's self-confidence, and God uses the devil to do it. Christ prayed for him through him when he came forth as gold. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Is there one here tonight and you think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you? You say, I feel worse than I ever felt in my life. I thought I knew I was a sinner, but I never knew I was this bad. You've probably got some more to find out yet, my dear friend. But the more you find out of your badness, you'll be through that badness. You discover the goodness of Christ. Out of the eater comes forth meat. What self-confidence does Peter have when he hears the cock crow? None. What does the Lord do? He turns and looks on him. And he goes out and weeps bitterly. Strengthened by the grace, by the meat, all the sweetness. Though in that look there was conviction, in that look there was love. Such is the grace of God, such is the mercy of God. Maybe in your family, trouble is eating things up. Perhaps there are those of you, it seems as though God is going to take everything from you. You think of poor Job. The Lord did take everything virtually from him, didn't he? Because he had to. But what did Job get out of it? What did God give Job? When he'd lost his children, when he lost his flocks and his herds, and when he's got no support from his wife, but rather the opposite, and he's lost his health, and he's feelingly lost his God too. Well, in the Lord's time, meat came out of that eater. Again, Satan is completely flummoxed, defeated. Oh, who is a God like unto our God? What wonders he performs. My dear friend, you may be there tonight and you're not seeing the wonders. Just sit still. Just stand still, my dear friend. That's what the Lord is bringing you to. Samson didn't organize that, those bees, did he? And nor can you organize the sweetness and the meat. My dear friend, it's all the Lord's doing. What a blessed thing. You think of Samson's parents, Manoah and his wife. They were so for us. Manoah was, wasn't he? His wife was blessed with more faith. But Manoah feared that the Lord was going to destroy them. Manoah and his wife looked on while the angel of the Lord did wondrously. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, would he have shown us all these things? Would he have received this offering at our hand? You say, my dear friend, what has he shown you? What offering has he received at your hand? Has he caused you to bring that one offering? Pleading the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And has he shown displeasure at you when you pleaded that name? No. Wait, my dear friend. Wait, and his promise will be fulfilled. Out of the eater came forth meat. Wonders of grace to God belong. And out of the strong came forth sweetness. You see, the eater eats up all your strength, whatever it may be, eats up all your wisdom, because God, his way is, his son is your wisdom. His son is your strength. The reality of it. Not you being able to take the word of God and with your own strength lay hold of the son. No, but the Holy Spirit coming down and showing you his son. Job said in the midst of his trial, didn't he? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. He didn't know he was going to. And he didn't know the wonder. He didn't know half of what he was going to find when he found him. Would he plead against me with his great power? No. He would put strength in me. Until you're dead, my dear friend, you can't hear his word, Lazarus, arise. Until you're lost, you can't hear him come and save you. Until, my dear friend, you're at wit's end corner, you can't see his wisdom and his might and his power put forth. He tarries off till men are faint and comes at evening late. It seems as though the lion of God's justice, the lion representing the devil, and the lion representing your sins, is going to completely consume you. But look, neither God's law, nor the devil, nor the sins of his people consume Christ. I have, he says, laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one, chosen from among the people. But where is the meat and the sweetness? The cross. The cross, my dear friend. Not in the word of creation is the meat and the sweetness, but in the word of redemption. In the blessed blood of redemption, in the sufferings and the death of redemption, in the Saviour's words at the cross. Oh, how invaluable those words. Well, I must leave it. I believe the Lord did give me this text. To some little extent has enabled me to preach it, may lead you in meditation on it and fulfill it in your life and mine. You know the things in your life and I know the things in mine. And may we prove the Lord in his mercy and his grace to bring good out of evil, to bring life out of destruction, out of death. For his name's sake, amen.
collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us close with hymn 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. Hymn 514.
Thank thee for thy word, Christ, in all the scriptures. Bless thy word to us. Lead us in meditation upon it. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that would spoil the vines. Forgive all amiss in the services today. Keep us safe as we part. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us. Amen.